Jamil on the beat. What is going on? Welcome to the podcast. The Correctly Mistaken Podcast. I'm your host, Wes Osei. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. Then unsubscribe, subscribe again, and rate and review again. And do it as many times as you please. And leave comments. Like I always say, if you hate me, if you love me, that's fine. But engage with me. Because one thing I try to do is to make sure that we talk about the truth. We speak truth to power. We give you the content that you want to hear. Even though in the society that we live in, we tend to get caught up in a lot of other things. Sometimes things that gets us so self-absorbed that we don't even remember or, excuse me, realize the times that we're living in. We don't realize, you know, what's going on. And we like to live in our little cocoons. And I get it, because you're safe in your cocoon. It's all lilies and flower fields and butterflies. And it's a beautiful thing being in your own cocoon. But you know what they say about cocoons? You got to come out of them. As butterflies start growing in a cocoon, eventually they have to come out. Now, when they come out, the world isn't a place sometimes that is always the best for everybody. And there's situations and trials and tribulations. But still, we have to speak about it. Still, we have to discuss it. And that Correctly Mistaken, I believe in great conversations with even greater people. But I also believe we have to continue the conversations. The conversations that we don't like to hear. The conversations that can make us feel, you know, we're no longer in our cocoon. But let me tell you something, if you didn't know this. You're not. And usually our cocoons are self-made. Most of us make them. I do. I love my safe place. My safe place could be right here talking to this mic and speaking to the people and playing a little video game and watching the Lakers on TV and meeting in my bedroom and hanging out with my lady and my kids. That's my cocoon. But at the same time, there's things going on. And we all know the biggest thing that has occurred has been the rise or the spread of COVID-19. And we all, I guess now we can all say where we were when they first started the lockdowns. We can all remember this day. This is something that we will never forget. And this year has been such a tough year for so many people. I'm thankful that it didn't hit me as hard as that it hit others. Not saying we didn't, you know, we haven't had our adversity through it, because we've had, definitely. But I know so many other people, millions of people, can't eat. Millions of people can't pay their rent, keep the lights on. The jobs that they had, COVID eliminated for no fault of their own. And one thing I've said about this coronavirus pandemic, if anything, it gave a giant MRI across the entire country. In terms of where we are, socioeconomic wise, class wise, and definitely put an MRI on one of our top two parties in this country. And see, the thing is, people always want to say, Wes, you're nothing but a Democrat. You're just Democrat, Democrat. No. I'm somebody who believes in criticism on both sides. But if you have one side that is just blatantly, brazenly, in your face, showing that they do not care, what else can we do? And I really had to put myself in a category, political-wise, it'd probably be more of an independent, because I have conservative values that I believe in, as well as I have more progressive values. But seeing where we are and understanding the government and how it is constructed and how the founding fathers constructed it with the separation of powers, especially when it comes to the Senate. And the Senate is a Republican majority. And if people don't understand how, I'm going to give you a little one-on-one lesson, just a little bit. The House of Representatives can pass a bill like they did back in May, the Heroes Act. Now, you remember we had the first act, I think it was, I don't know if it was the Heroes Act, no, the second one was the Heroes Act. I can't remember what they called the first one. But it was a $3 trillion package that went out in a number of array of things. And one of the top things, it was direct cash payments to families. $1,200 an American person and $500 a kid. Now, obviously, even though that's good to have money in your pocket, it doesn't alleviate the pain of not having a job. Because only, I think the max was, you had a family of five, was like $4,000 or something. Which $4,000 is nothing to sneeze at in terms of a one-time payment, but the sustainability of it going forward is impossible. And more is needed. To the point where the House passed another package back in May, the HEROES package, as we just alluded to. But since that package has been passed in the House, it has done nothing but sat on Republican Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's desk. Just sat. People are hurting. People get thrown out of their houses. You're seeing on TV the lines of people who are food insecure or have food security issues. They're saying 60 million people. And you look at this and you tell yourself, you see everything, what's going on. You know that help is needed. But why hasn't anything came? Now, if you guys heard the news, I'm recording this on Thursday morning. If you heard the news, they do have something. It is really funny to me. It just seems to me the only way Congress operates is in December. Like, they don't understand the urgency of anything until December, which is Democrats and Republicans. And if I had to criticize the Democrats, I would say one thing, is I don't believe that they have done a good job in terms of really, really, really getting the point across. Really putting the pressure, talking to every media outlet, speaking passionately, speaking about the wants that the people need. I think they still do too many politics. Let's sit in the back room. Let's have some lunch. Let's chit chat about life. And if we come up with a deal, we'll come up with a deal. No urgency. Just complacency, even from the Democratic side. That's why you have people like AOC saying maybe it's time for different leadership. Now, we do understand the fact that the Democrats don't have a majority. So it makes it difficult. They need the votes. They need bipartisan involvement. But I believe the passion from the Democrat Party just hasn't been there in terms of the levity of what is really needed and people who are really hurting. Because the thing is, if you don't see it, it has nothing to do with you. They always say, my grief is my grief, and your grief is yours. Shouldn't be that way. Shouldn't be that way at all. But it is befuddling to me. It is flabbergasting. It is shameful that you know from people's, no fault of these people's own, no fault of anybody's own. Most people are good. The majority of people are good. The majority of people want to work. They want to make their money, come home, take care of their families, take care of their house, raise their children, live in peace and tranquility with their significant other. But we see what's going on, and such the calamities and such the death and the famine that is going on for nobody's fault of their own. And we have a majority leader in Mitch McConnell who's done nothing until now. Some $900 billion package, which most of it isn't even new money. And once again, it floors me, because now if you see this, the direct payments are going to be $600 a person, something like that. I don't even know if they're doing the part of the kids anymore. I don't know if they're going to add an extra $500 a kid. Don't know if that's the case. But we're seeing, and even in this package, there's no state and local aid. And they had a fight just to get direct payments. And I tell myself, why in the world do you have to fight? Why would the American people have to wait since March, because the relief came out in March. The new HEROES Act came out in May. And people have been sitting here living through this nightmare. The nightmare of not being able to put food on the table. The nightmare of not being able to pay your rent. The nightmare of not being able to pay your mortgage. When 4 or 5 months prior, everything was okay. Had a job, paying your mortgage, paying your rent, paying your bills. Then a pandemic hit. And we know how bad the response was to the pandemic, and I'm going to talk about that a little later. But it was okay. But now, snap of the finger, it's not. For no fault of their own. And Mitch McConnell does nothing. You know, sometimes, one thing about me, I tell you all the time, I can't talk. I'm not somebody that could be as, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm a pretty good communicator, but I haven't gotten to a point of I could really get to the gist of how terrible this is. So I'm going to let my boy Chris Cuomo tell you.
It's a soulless, slow walk of relief that must be the focus of attention and outrage. There is no good reason for this delay. It's time to focus on it. Has anyone heard of the flood of lawsuits that are hitting businesses so hard that we have to address hunger, vaccine production, or any family pain? Well, Mitch McConnell has, and he is arguing for exactly that. Be very clear. McConnell is talking about 1,400 or so suits since March. They're against employers for work-related illness regarding COVID. He says these suits are such a threat, such an emergency, that they are worth holding up relief until there is a deal to hold these employers harmless from liability. So those companies getting relief matters as much as anything else? Forget the fact that some of those suits may be justified, maybe many of them, maybe all of them, or that people may have been mistreated, or that There's something called workers' compensation and other tools that are already in place to limit liability, or the fact that litigation is how we figure out problems, or that you could address the problem of massive number of suits, not 1,400, when they really pile up. You know what's piling up? 60 million. We are close to that number of people who are hungry. Kids that need food, schools that are desperate, vaccines that need to be produced, families who won't have Christmas. Those are exigent circumstances. Those are now. These families needed help weeks ago, months ago. But look at McConnell, because this is about him. And his visage betrays his demeanor. He always has that face on because he is about the goal. There is no shame in his game. There is never a trace of humanity or of concern. He is a pro's pro. He does not care about the cost to anyone else. Lie about the Garland nomination, then stack the court. There is no principle, only priorities. And he will let the pain pour down on this country because he has. You see, it's not speculative. If he doesn't get this protection, no deal.
You see, Mitch McConnell. It's... The party of Lincoln is no more. You think if Lincoln was here that he would want to see people destitute? People not having food for their families? People not being able to keep the lights on? Pay their rent? Especially if it was no fault of their own and the federal government had the powers or had the means to actually assist? But instead, what Mitch McConnell wants to do is trying to give liability protection to corporations. Because people have to realize, the Republican caucus have shown that all they care about is the donors that continue to fund their campaigns, give them money on the side, and keep the money train moving. That's it. See, I've continuously said that Donald Trump, in my last podcast, if people had a chance to listen to it, I appreciate you guys listening. Donald Trump did not bring a new branch of the Republican Party with his character and who he is as a person. Him coming exposed the Republican Party for who they are, what they've become. They're a party that doesn't even believe in the bedrock of our society, which is democracy. Think about that. And people, we have to understand democracy is an experiment. It is a 200 and something year experiment that we're still doing. And the minute you have these things that occur, that literally goes at the heart of it. It's to the point where can you ever vote Republican again? I keep asking that question because if another Republican president comes in, who says that he won't take after the Donald Trump playbook and try the same thing? Let's say, thank the Lord that Mitch McConnell is the majority leader, but that sleaze Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader, isn't the majority leader of the House. Because who knows what would have happened if Pelosi wasn't the leader of the House and the Democrats didn't have a majority. Who knows what they could have done with this election or what they could have weaseled their way and trying to figure out how to give an election to an illegitimate candidate who lost by 7 million votes and lost the Electoral College 306 to 232, which he caused a landslide when he won by those very same numbers in 2016. But it shows you, they don't care. All it matters is the people that give to them, they take care of. they don't even want to give you back the money that you paid in. Because they act as if they got to find this $900 billion from somewhere. It's taxes that we pay. We're taxpayers. And you're saying that you cannot give them back of what they paid in? In an extenuating circumstance as the one that we're in right now? You can't? Can't find it in you. Gotta keep the money train going. God forbid we can't put a pause on capitalism. God forbid we can't really help the people who need it, the people who make this economy go. You don't have an economy if people don't go out and patronize and don't be a part of it. But you doing anything and everything to make sure that nothing comes to them, you want no state and local aid. At one point in time, you didn't even want any direct payments. And even now, these direct payments are even less than they were last time. $1,200 a person isn't enough, definitely, to meet all the needs. It helps in some areas. But $600, cut it in half? Why would you want to do that if you know people are in need? Why would you cut it in half? Because you're showing you do not care. The Republican Party does not care about you, about me, about the grandmother that passed away from coronavirus, for your granddaddy that passed away, from your aunts, your uncles, everybody who has been hit hard with this disease in terms of health-wise and fiscally-wise. They don't care. I find it so shameful. And what the Republican Party has become is conspiracy theory, lies. I mean, you even have Ron Johnson yesterday holding a hearing on voting voting discrepancies or irregularities. Y'all know I can't talk, but I talk anyway. Having these facade hearings, having electors or alternate set of electors try to come into Capitol Hill and put votes in for President Trump. All these things that they're doing, these optics to do something so then conservative media can run with it. It's shameful. And people who believe, people who are Republican, and this is the thing, this disease has affected or virus, excuse me, has infected everybody, Republican, Democrat, Black, White, Latino, Asian, everybody and anyone. The voters that voted for you, Mitch McConnell, Kentucky, the state of Kentucky is one of the poorest states in the country. And they're still putting you in there. And when you get in there, what are you worried about? Making sure people won't be able to sue a corporation if they had bad practices to COVID protocol. As if there have been hundreds and thousands of lawsuits that have been all over the place of people just suing their companies because they feel as if they didn't protect them in COVID. Oh, that's what's going on. That's the focus. We got to make sure those corporations are protected, that make billions of dollars a year. The corporations that work so hard to make sure I keep money in my pocket. The corporations that make sure that my campaigns have enough money. I keep saying the wrong thing. Or maybe that's the right thing. Because that's what the situation is. That's what we're dealing with. And yes, they want to say, you know, something is better than nothing. Okay. But to fight so hard, to have to negotiate for things that people just need. People are not trying to get this money so they can go party or hang out or, you know, buy 45 ounces of weed. People trying to feed their families. And I know 45 ounces of weed is a lot more than $4,000. I'm just giving you numbers. But people are trying to feed their families. That's it. Food on the table. Basic amenities. And they can't even do that. Because we can't get a bill passed because Mitch McConnell wants to make sure that the billion-dollar corporation that already don't pay no damn taxes, God forbid they get sued because they decided to say, everybody go out there, we ain't getting no mask for nobody. God forbid that they got some accountability. God forbid the people that continuously put money in their pockets get held to the fire for their misdeeds and their missteps. No, we can't have that. I won't give a dime of money out unless those companies are protected. It's shameful. But that's what we're dealing with. And for the Democratic Party to go from 2.2 trillion to 1.8 trillion to 900 billion. Come on, y'all. How? Now, I get it. You want something than anything. But the fact of the matter is, I just don't feel that the passion, the emotion to really get to the American people and let them understand why in the past 9 months there hasn't been a lick of aid and why that is the case. Don't do political speak. Put pressure. Every day, hold a press conference. Go on Twitter. Go on every outlet and say, we want the American people to have, but the Republican Party and Mitch McConnell don't. Don't do that political speak like, well, we're trying to, you know, we're coming together and making sure that, you know, everything's here and we're just going, you know, we're doing some compromises. No, there should be no compromise. When the people that make sure and pay into a country so it could run, now they need help and you're abandoning them? You're abandoning us? And yes, I say us because I'm an American that live in this country just like you. I deal with adversity, financial issues just like you. I ain't making no money off this podcast. Not yet. But I don't give a damn if I'm not. I'm speaking truth to power and I'm always going to do it. To the day they put me in a casket. That's what we're dealing with. And that's why we don't have the aid that's needed. And now, yeah, they're coming out with this little $900 billion pack. When I say little, because $900 billion isn't little. But in terms of what is needed for the American people, what is needed for states and local governments, it's not enough. And Mitch McConnell, because of his majority, is getting his way. Because at the end of the day, all that matters to him are the people that put money in his pockets. So he has to make sure that their pockets stay fat. That $740 billion defense budget package, we're through quick. You got to pay them cats. Make sure you do it. But $1,200 checks to American people? Oh, no, 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 no. We can give $740 billion to defense contractors, but $1,200 to the average American? Oh, no, 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 no. That's, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's asking for way too much there. One more segment. We'll be back on the other side. Correctly Mistaken Podcast. Yo, yo, welcome to the other side of the podcast, the Correctly Mistaken Podcast. I'm your host, your boy Wes Osei. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, then unsubscribe, subscribe again, rate, review, comment, say what you want. I don't care. I'm going to keep doing it. If you love me, I appreciate that too. But if you hate me, I appreciate that too. I do. You know, the haters give you, what do they say? Haters give you energy? I don't know the old saying. They used to say something like, if you have haters, that means you doing something. I don't know. Am I really doing something? Yeah, you know. The jury's out on that. I'm just a brother just speaking the truth. It's not even my truth. People always want to say that. This is my truth. My truth. I don't agree with that. I only think there's one truth. Now, you can have your interpretation of it. You can believe or have an issue with that part of the truth and like this part of the truth. But at the end of the day, the truth is the truth. And it stands all alone. But what I want to discuss on this side is, I don't know if you guys heard the reports, because what we have been going through right now is a global pandemic, the coronavirus, COVID-19. Right now, as we speak, over 308,000 people, Americans, our fellow brothers, sisters, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, cousins, so many families, over 308,000 families have been affected by this. In a 9-month period, I think the first death from coronavirus was in March, I believe that to be the case. And in a 9-month period, 308,000 people have passed from the same thing or complications to it. And as you can see, we had a complete and total inept lack of leadership from the top. And the reason why we have over 308,000 deaths. Point blank. There's no other reason. It's not conjecture. And no, I can't talk. It's not opinion. It's not what I think. It's not something that could be debated. It was because of a lack of leadership from the federal level, from the White House, from this current president, is the reason why we have over 308,000 families have to have a memory of their loved one instead of making more memories with that loved one. Something that could have been totally and completely avoided. To this mass casualty, it could have been totally and completely avoided. But as we know, the president, the people around him, such misinformation from Dr. Scott Atlas, and talking as if that people got to open up and just go and live life. And people were saying that at one point in time that they believed that herd immunity was something that Dr. Scott Atlas was teaching. He's no longer in the administration. He was a radiologist from California, and because of the fact that he was saying what the president wanted to hear, he put him as head, as leading the effort in the White House with coronavirus. And you saw what he did. He was the reason why so many more people died, because his misinformation that he put out there. And now this report has came in that has been proven now. Memos have been leaked. Emails have been leaked. Showing, stating that they were looking to get herd immunity. That they were looking to get everybody infected. They were looking. And if you don't know what herd immunity is, I'll tell you what it is. Herd immunity is the strategy when everybody just lets, when you let the virus run rapid, you let the virus run uninvaded, you let the virus run completely out of control, let it affect as many people as possible, to basically the virus can't go around no more to do nothing else. But in the same time, instead of having 308,000 deaths with that same method, we would have had over probably 3 million deaths. But that's what they were doing. That is what the White House, with these new emails that have been leaked and exposed to the media, that they were looking and saying, we want everybody to get infected. Especially young people, if young people and them expose them as much as possible, then instead of the memo, if something happens to them, then we have another issue. But as of right now, it's really older people. Let it run its course, let it run rapid, and let's see where it ends there. What? If you don't believe me, check out my boy Chris Hayes and what he got to say about it.
Good evening from New York. I'm Chris Hayes. We want them infected. Those are the words of a top Trump appointee directing the federal government to pursue an intentional strategy from the top down to get as many Americans as sick as possible in an attempt at so-called herd immunity. It's a strategy we have seen unfold before our eyes. We've talked about it here on the show. It's been apparent to all of us reporting on this and watching. We now have the smoking gun evidence, emails obtained by Politico, in which the very people at the center of this say what exactly they were doing, that they wanted people to get the virus. And this is the result. The National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. last night. Its bell tolling 300 times, one ring of the bell for every 1,000 Americans as we pass the 300,000 death toll. According to the COVID tracking project, we lost another 3,400 Americans that have died since roughly when those bells rang just last night, and that is a new daily record. We've never seen it before. No country has. 3,400 Americans lost to the virus in just the last 24 hours.
3,400 Americans in the last 24 hours have been lost. We're having 9/11 every day. Think about that. Over 3,000 people died on that fateful, terrible day in September in 2001. We're having that every single day now. Every single day now. That's what we're dealing with. And as you can see, the complete lack of urgency, of care. And see, I talked about earlier about the Republican Party. And it shows the people who are in power right now are who? Who had the majority, that have the White House, that have the Senate? Republican Party. And what they wanted to do is they wanted everybody to get infected, spread it all everywhere. until they can't go no more. But at that time, we're lose millions of people. They literally did not care if millions died. They did not care if, as they say, the herd was thinned. They had an opportunity to really beat this thing, get a hold of it, do the proper things. Now, and you think about it now. Why didn't President Trump want to do more of the Defense Production Act? Why didn't they want to do more to keep their American people safe? It makes sense now. Because they didn't give a shit about keeping the American people safe. They want everybody to get infected. Maybe everybody gets infected, we can get over it that way. Yeah, we lose 4 or 5 million people. Oh, whatever. It is what it is. Like Trump said in that Axios interview, it is what it is. Really? Really? See, that's what we're dealing with. That is the corruption, the lack of empathy, the evils. It's so, and one thing about me, y'all, I don't like to call anybody evil. Evil is such a strong word. But sometimes the word is meant for the moment. And for that type of strategy that doctors all over this country have debunked over and over again, for you to actually want to do that and go through with that shows the evil in that. To go ahead and let people just die off. Let everybody get infected. Let 70% of the country just get infected. And whoever dies, dies. Whoever lives, lives. That's the country that we live in. That's the country that we love. And those are the leaders that we have in this country right now. Go ahead and die. It's all right. Everybody gets infected. People got to go anyway. So why not? If they make it, they make it. If they don't, they don't. Like, is that leadership? I mean, we know it's not. We know way back in April that Donald Trump knew how bad this virus was. He told Bob Woodward such. We know what it was. He knew it was 5 times worse than the flu. And if you're the wrong person and catches it, it could be deadly. But when his advisors said, hey man, let everybody just catch it. They passed out emails all over the White House. Hey man, let's get everybody infected. Let's get the herd immunity. That would do it. That would get us past this thing. We lose 4 million people, but hey, guess what? No more coronavirus. Are you kidding? Are you fucking kidding me? A complete and total lack of leadership. Over 308,000 lives are on the blood. The blood of those lives are on the hands of Donald Trump, of Scott Atlas, of that administration forevermore. I don't care what you say. I don't care if you don't think about it. I don't care if you don't agree with it. But it's right anyhow. I speak truth, and I speak truth to power. That's what we do here on Correctly Mistaken. And 308,000 deaths, the blood of those people are on the hands squarely of the President of the United States of America. Squarely on his shoulders. They made this decision to completely ignore it. Donald Trump went out during the election year at every single one of his events. He held rallies where people had no masks. Thousands of people, shoulder to shoulder, super spreader events that have been proven that a lot of cases came from there. Herman Cain died after going to a Trump rally in Oklahoma. He died from coronavirus. After he was shown at a Trump rally with no mask, sitting shoulder to shoulder to people. Donald Trump had the information. He had the answers. He knew about it, but he chose to do nothing. Why? Because it didn't fit him politically. Because, see, this country has been running. When Obama left, see, believe it what you not, believe it or not, Obama left his country in a great shape. And the government was running smooth. All he was doing is just sitting there being president. Now, there were some issues maybe here or there that could have been done better. Maybe Obama wasn't able to get to or wasn't able to fulfill. Not saying that it was a perfect presidency by any means, by any stretch. But at the same time, it was running smoothly. And then when adversity hit and it was time for him in 4 years being president to actually lead the country through a crisis, to guide us, to tell the truth, to tell the truth, to speak facts. All he has done is spread misinformation, conspiracy theories, and lies. This is the man that said on November the 4th after the election, we will never hear about coronavirus again because it's a Democratic hoax. But 3,400 people died yesterday. Over 16 million infections. Over 100,000 people hospitalized and growing. Donald Trump said it wasn't going to be a fall surge. Look where we're at. There was not, Mike Pence said, there won't be a second wave. Look where we are. Look. This is what this White House, this is what this administration thought about you, thought about me. My life didn't matter. My grandma, my grandpa's, your life didn't matter. Your grandmother, your grandfather, your auntie, it didn't matter. If they died, hey, that's the cost of doing business, because we can't shut down this economy, because God forbid we put capitalism and our cronies can't print money. They can't get paid. They can't get the money in their pocket just for a couple months. God forbid. Open up the economy. Get all out there. Get sick. Possibly die. Go do it. Get on out there, champ. Take the world. Go out there, grab the world by its horns, catch coronavirus, and hopefully you're around to see the result. And the result of what happens when you, excuse me, the result, there's even no results, because people still who've had COVID are dealing with after effects. Some people say it takes months to even recover from it. People who had more severe cases of it. So there's not even a result. It's still questions about it after the case, because we don't understand the virus still. It mutates, it changes, it does different things. But at the same time, it's a serious virus. And that's why when you see TV commercials or you see TV shows, people are doing it from home. Interviews are from home. Social distancing. When they're around people, mask wearing. And that's the thing too. It is insane to me that we have made this such a political theater, that we made this such a political endeavor, that we that this the simple suggestion of just wearing a mask, yes, it's insignificant, yes, I'm sorry, yes, it's inconvenient, yes, it's tough, yes, it sucks. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, it sucks to put it on. But God forbid you want to help somebody else. Maybe you're healthy, but you don't know if the other person's dealing with. You don't know what they're going through. And you, by just putting on a mask, You don't even got to wear it in your car. You don't have to wear it at home. Just when you go out in public, just put a little face cloth over your face. And for whatever duration of time that you're in that store or in that establishment, you can't find it in your heart to wear that. You got to say, I'm a free person. Free to do what? Get sick, you damn fool? I mean, come on. Wear a damn mask. Protect the people that you love. Protect the ones that you don't even know. So if you happen to give it to somebody that they don't go home and give it to somebody that they love and that person goes up out of here. And the reason and the way this government has been such a lack of leadership to the point where everybody's doing their own thing. Every state is left to their own vices. And that's why we have this mess that we can't get out of it. It's a mess. And once again shows that this president, that administration, and the party he represents don't care about you. Like I said in the last segment, they don't even want to give you $1,200. Give the military $740 billion, pass that through, but I can't give America $1,200 because I won't get nothing back from that. It's always about give and take. Not giving. It's how me giving you this money is going to scratch my back. If you don't do that, they don't want no part of it. And it's a damn shame. It's a real damn shame. Now, before I go, I wanted to be on the bright side here. I wanted to leave on a better note. I thought this story was a tremendous story, and it, in this midst of time, it can really probably make our heart warm. In the midst of this cold, in the midst of all the coldness of our government and just the lack of care and empathy, this is something that could give us your little joy. Now, we know yesterday, if you guys weren't in the Virginia area, or even around the country, the Northeast and the North and the East coast, we had a snowstorm. Well, we're having a snowstorm, and Northwest is getting hit real hard, but yesterday here in Virginia and West Virginia, had snow, the first snow of the year, their first snow day of the year for the kids. And West Virginia, the Jefferson County Schools superintendent wrote a letter about the snow day. And this is what she said, in the letter. Dear Jefferson, this is Jefferson County Schools. This is a superintendent. Her name is Bondi Shay Gibson, Dr. Bondi Shay Gibson. She's the superintendent of West Virginia schools. I'm sorry, of Jefferson County schools in West Virginia. And this is the letter that she sent out to the people and the families in her community. Dear Jefferson County school community, for generations, families have greeted the first snow day of the year with joy. It's a time of renewed wonder at all the beautiful things that each season holds. A reminder of how fleeting childhood can be. An opportunity to make some memories with your family that you hold on to for life. For all those reasons and many more, Jefferson County Schools will be completely closed tomorrow, December 16th, in honor of the first snow day of the year. Closed for students, closed for virtual, closed for staff. It has been a year of seemingly endless loss and the stress of trying to make up for that loss. Just for a moment, we can all let go of the worry of making up for the many things we missed by making sure this is the one thing our kids won't lose this year. So please, enjoy a day of sledding and hot chocolate and cozy fires. Take pictures of your kids in snow hats. They will outgrow by next year, and read the books that you have wanted to lose yourself in, but haven't had the time. We will return to the serious and urgent business of growing up on Thursday. But for tomorrow, go build a snowman. Sincerely, Bonnie Shea Gibson, Superintendent. So I hope you were able to do that. I hope you were able to take your kids outside. Hope they were able to enjoy the snow. If you have kids that enjoy the snow, my kids are not really snow people. But if your kids were, hope they enjoyed themselves. We have so much death, so much loss, so much hurt for so many people. And my heart goes out to you all. And I'm so sorry for the loss of whoever you've lost and the pain that you're going through. But I hope for at least a day when that snow hit and those kids were outside smiling and laughing that you were able to just for a moment, find peace. Until next time, love everybody. Hate no one. This is the Correctly Mistaken Podcast. And I'm your host, your boy, Wes Osei. Be blessed. Peace.